like you. Shades all spinning in the summer rain. Dancing when there ain't no music. Just the right kind of crazy. Baby.
This is the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Headliner Interview Edition. My name's Chris Payne. I'm a writer here at Billboard. Coming up, I have an interview with Dan and Shay, the country duo. If you're about them, it's their music, it's a country music, of course you're excited to hear what they have to say. Outside of country, they actually touch on a whole lot of other scenes and genres. It's really cool to hear how they've come into each one, kind of hopped around, made each their own. Both them, especially Dan, have roots in emo and post-hardcore, those scenes back in the day. Which means, yeah, we'll talk some Under Oath on this podcast. They've both touched on Christian music in their lives, and that's actually really apparent with Dan and Shay's latest single. It's part of a film that comes out this week called The Shack. We'll discuss what that's all about in their show, their role in the soundtrack, their new song in it. This is a nice, succinct episode, one of the shorter ones, but we squeeze in a lot of laughs, a lot of different subjects. We're kind of all over the place, but I think you'll enjoy it. When you're done, rate us on iTunes. That really helps a lot with everything we do with the podcast. Write in what you like, what you don't like. Subscribe to the Pop Shop Podcast in the same place. Then you'll get us every week automatically. That's all I have to say. Here it is, right now. Dan and Shay, welcome to the Billboard office.
What's Thank happening, you. Man? Good to be here. Good to
Thank
be here.
You. Thank you for coming by. So you guys are in the big city. Got some cinematic events, gala events going on tonight. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, man. We're here for the Shack premiere. We've got a song as part of the soundtrack, When I Pray For You, a new single we've got out. And we're looking forward to it, man. We've never been to a film premiere before. We've only seen them on TV. So it's going to be cool. We got came up here with our suits. We're going to be dressed all dapper, or at least we hope.
Dapper.
And yeah, good word, right? And yeah, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be, you know, hopefully get to run into some of the actors and actresses from the movie. We got to fly out to LA a while back and screen it when we were writing the song. And fantastic movie, super powerful and moving, and it'll be cool to watch the movie again tonight. And it's always good to get to hang out in New York City, man. The Big Apple.
Yeah,
Big Apple.
Is everyone, because it's like a big soundtrack, a lot of original songs, you guys, a lot of other people. Is the whole crew going to be there?
I think so, man. Hopefully. You know, there's so many talented artists on that bill, and we're just honored to be a part of that soundtrack. You know, you look, our name is next to people like Lady Annabelle and Tim McGraw and so many other just really talented people. So hopefully that everyone kind of, you know, shows up and comes and gets to hang out, and that their schedule allows them to be here. But this is just so cool, man, to be, like I said, just to be mentioned next to legendary people like that is just really cool.
It's the lead track on the soundtrack.
It is. It's really cool.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. We get to we shot like a little pre-acoustic performance before the film airs too. So in every theater, our acoustic performance is being broadcast, which is really cool. So we haven't really seen it yet. We just shot it and sang it, and hopefully it doesn't suck. So we'll see how it goes, and we're gonna be hanging out and watching it with everybody else. So it should be pretty cool.
So you guys are probably really used to red carpets from award shows.
Yeah.
But you think it's gonna be any different this time around? What's like your strategy for the red carpet?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like this time. I assume that it'll be, you know, kind of the similar vibe, but we'll be ready to answer any questions anyone has. We'll just be walking around acting like we belong there, and a lot bigger stars than us will be there, I'm sure. But it's going to be a good time, man.
One thing I'm really looking forward to is the weather. It's pretty nice out here in New York City today. I feel like every time we do a red carpet in Nashville, LA, or Las Vegas, it's like 134 degrees, and we're just sweating like crazy wearing suits because we don't usually wear suits, and it's usually ridiculous. We'll see ourselves on camera, and we're just dripping sweat, and it's like, well, I guess everybody else kind of is too, but the weather in New York City today is pretty nice, so I think we'll be all right. They'll probably have it inside, knowing, you know, our luck in some sauna or something when we're walking through.
And it's going to be even hotter tomorrow when, but
yeah.
Who's counting?
So the track, when I...
I don't know what that means.
Feel old yet?
Who's counting? Feel old yet?
Shout out to our weatherman. Shout out to, like, the Weather Channel. That's National right. Weather Services.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Suppose are counting this sort of thing.
Counting it. Who's counting? You gotta start using that for things that just... I mean, that didn't really make sense either, but just things in your life. You're like, oh,
catch
you guys going? I don't know, man. But who's counting? You know? You guys going to the party? I don't know. Who's counting, though? We'll see.
So the new track, When I Pray For You, we'll drop a little bit of it for the people to hear, but listen to the lyrics. Would you say this is the most like faith-based song you've done in your career so far?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, we sat down. It was a cool moment. Shay was about to have his kid, Asher James. And we sat down in the room with a couple of buddies of ours who had also just recently become fathers. And it was, you know, songwriting gets emotional sometimes. You know, you're sharing stories and sharing feelings and stir them up in the pot, and out comes a song. And we kind of were kicking around ideas, and, you know, everybody had their input and everybody has their own perspective on it. And, you know, simultaneously, we were able to fly out to LA and screen the Shack. And it was crazy how it all happened. I mean, the timing of it was just wild. And, you know, it's opened us up to kind of a whole new audience, which is really cool. You know, I think our song is featured on Spotify top Christian tracks, which is really cool. You know, it's new people coming to our music and they can discover the whole back catalog as well. But yeah, it is definitely the most faith-based song we've ever written and recorded. But it's cool, man. It's working for us. It's doing great in the shows. And now that Shay has had his kid, I think it's taken on a whole new meaning for him.
It does, man. It's really cool. You know, Dan and I have written a couple songs that are really, really special. Obviously, any song that you write is kind of your baby. But, you know, our last single, From the Ground Up, was definitely the most, you know, at that point, was the most special song we had ever written. We wrote that about our grandparents. So to kind of, you know, look at our lives and see how it's progressed and see how our careers have progressed, it's really cool to have a song like this, you know, that really is truly inspired by something that's going on in your life. And it's been really cool, you know, ever since having my kid. It's just one of those things where, you know, songs kind of take new life. And this definitely, you know, was obviously inspired by him and this movie. So it was really, really cool to be able to write that. And to be truly inspired by a movie is something that is really cool, because, you know, they could have asked us to be a part of a movie that, you know, you don't necessarily connect with. But this one was definitely one of those ones that, like, we actually were very, very inspired by it. So that kind of translated into the song. And we're just so happy that this is we're able to be a part of this, you know, in such a cool way. And to have the title, you know, to have the first track on the record is really cool, man. We're excited.
Yeah. And you guys have, both of you in your careers, pre-Dan and Shay, have straddled a couple different music scenes. So I bet it's like another feather in the cap, another one to
who's
check
counting,
off.
You know? Who's counting? Rewind back about 6 minutes to find that inside joke. Yeah, man, it's cool. We both came from different backgrounds, and we've both been chasing the musical dream for a long time. And we've always been huge fans of country music. You know, we grew up listening to it, among other things. And we moved to Nashville because we wanted to be country songwriters. And we just met by chance one night and started singing country songs together. And boom, here we are today, you know, a few years later and a few singles under our belt. But yeah, I grew up in, you know, kind of a rock scene, pop and punk and all that kind of stuff, doing Warped Tour and all those things. And I noticed the Thursday hoodie wearing there. Got to show a little respect to that. We rock out to some Thursday, Understanding in a Car Crash, and Cross Out the Eyes, and all the throwbacks on the bus late at night. We've got a motley crew in our band, if you will. Our drummer was in the band Receiving Into Sirens. Our guitar player was in A Rocket to the Moon. Bass player was in My American Heart. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So our sound checks get a little bit interesting. They get a little wild throwing it back. You know, we can all cover Newfound Glory, Sticks and Stones, you know, from top to bottom without a rehearsal. So it's
who's
cool.
Who's counting, you know?
Who's counting, man? Feel old yet?
Yeah.
And there was a good amount of faith-based music in that scene back in the day, too.
Yeah, man, all the Tooth and Nail records, you know, like Under Oath and Anne Boleyn and all that stuff, we really dug Reliant K, Shay's favorite band ever.
It was like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, so, that stuff was awesome, and there was a cool scene, you know, all those big festivals, Cornerstone Festival. Our buddy Nano's in the house. He managed All Time Low for a while. He went to the Cornerstone Festival, and he was rocking.
Nano would like to come say a few words for you guys right now. don't let him talk on anymore.
But yeah, that's such a cool scene. I actually just got to go see Dashboard Confessional the other night. I hung out with Chris Carrabba, which was like my childhood dreams coming true, the Basement East in Nashville, and we exchanged numbers, so, you know, I feel like we're buddies now.
Yeah.
But I still have his autograph on a concert ticket from when I was in seventh grade, so I made sure to tell him that.
I thought Dan might leave the band and become a roadie. I thought he was just gone.
Dashboard roadie?
Like, he's going to start playing guitar for them or something. He's gone. We lost him.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, with reaching this new Christian audience with a new single, it must feel like a lot past and present must be coming together.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. You know, I grew up singing in the church and stuff and, you know, listened to Air One and whatnot, and there's a lot of those songs that I still love, and Casting Crowns and all those people. It's really cool, man. That's a very loyal audience too, and it's really awesome to have a song that does cross over and does mean so much to so many people, and because it means that much to us. So it's cool, man. You know, like Dan was saying, new audiences, new people hearing our music is always something that's really, really cool. And with this one, definitely opens up not only the country audience or even, the pop audience, but the Christian charts as well, and the Christian audience and churches are probably, going to see this movie when it comes out. And it's just, I think this movie is going to be big, man. And it's just awesome to be a part of this. And it's this song is one of those songs where it's kind of bigger than yourself. I feel like this song was meant to be written, and I think it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people.
Cool. So we're going to pick up this conversation a bit. Right now I'm going to drop in a little word from our sponsor. So you guys are talking about when you've, like, your past in music, when you first partnered up as Dan and Shay. I'm wondering, when you guys first came to Nashville and, like, set out as country artists, was it difficult to get accepted as part of Nashville?
Yeah, man, it's a close-knit community, especially, the Music Row songwriting community. And we were at it for a long time, but it's just about perseverance and staying with it and networking and being nice to everybody, because you never know who's going to end up making it or, cracking the code. And, we met a lot of people and wrote as many songs as we could. We would write with everybody, We don't get as many opportunities to write songs as we used to. We still do on the bus. We wrote, I think, 3 songs this past weekend. A couple buddies of ours came out on the road. Paul, actually, from Boys Like Girls. Was out on the road with us, and it's tough to crack in, for sure. We spent a few years living in a really rough house, no heat, no AC, no locks on the doors, but it was what $100 could get us on Craigslist, so that's what we did. And we grinded it out and just wrote songs around the clock, not to name drop one of our songs on our new album, but seriously, like 24/7 we were just writing, trying to find our sound. And it's crazy how it happens. Shay and I were both pursuing different paths and working really hard, and then we met, and it was like, boom, it clicked super quickly. I think the first song we wrote got put on hold for a Rascal Flatts album, which was ridiculous for us because that was our favorite band. Mm-hmm. And we were like, I think we made it. And we didn't make it, come to later find out. But it was still cool, to know that Rascal Flatts, or at least somebody said they heard our song, or right, somebody liked the song. And kind of gave us a little steam, and we're like, we should keep doing this. And we kept writing 2-3 songs a day and started getting more and more involved in the songwriting community. And that all sort of happened before we got a record deal and before we became Dan and Shay as a duo. We were just writing, and we were like, man, whose record can we try to get a cut on today? And it was cool. It happened organically. We wrote the songs we wanted to write. We wrote what we felt and what we knew how to write, and we cut the record ourselves. And then when record labels started coming around, it was cool because we had this whole catalog of demos, and we were like, well, shoot, man, who's going to produce our record? Like, how are we getting there? Like, no, it's already done. Let's just get it mixed. So it was cool. We kind of brought the whole first Where It All Began album to the label pretty much done, a few little candy things here and there and tightening up. But it was cool how that happened. And everybody always asks, like, who put you guys together? Come on, it's got to be fake. It's too good to be true. Like, did somebody from a record label put you together? And it was, nah, man, it just happened at a party one night. And I still got the voice memo on my phone from 2:35 a.m.
Ooh, you want to play it?
I might. Here, I'm going to dig it up while we keep talking.
Put it right up to the mic.
Let me see it.
So you guys basically, you went up to each other at a party.
Yeah, man, what happened was, it was a mutual friend. My buddy Andrew De Torres, which was kind of also in that scene.
He was, what was his band called?
The Scene Aesthetic.
Danger Radio and the Scene Aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, the Scene Aesthetic was one of the bands. Yeah. But I remember I lived with him and this guy named Brandon, and I was like sleeping on their couch for a while. And he was like, hey, man, there's this party tonight. There's these guys, I have this band, and they're writing country music and really cool dudes, and I think you guys would get along. So we go to this party. There's probably 20 people there, maybe less. By this time, when he's about to play, there was maybe like 6 of us around, and our guitar player Justin, that's there, was there in this room, and this was going down. But yeah, this is the
it's 12/7/2012, and the caption is Shay Mooney singing. I remember when I heard him open his mouth for the first time, I was like, this is the greatest all right singer of all time. We gotta make some music together. Trust me, baby girl, always where you wanna be. 4 a.m. Setting all the choice in mind, it's really up to you. Just say yes, don't fix your mouth or tell me no. Just try the bottom jive for me and just say oh. You get what I'm saying, you know? Come
on, you would have had me right there.
Legit, I'm in at that point. That was
several beers later, I think.
Like 30 or 40.
30 or 40 beers later. You had a keg. First of all, they lived in this house that was like, wasn't great. None of us was living in great, you know, living conditions. But it was they had this place so vibed out. It was awesome. Didn't have heat, but they had a keg of beer in the back. And it was like really, I think, was it Natty Light or was it PBR?
The keg was a gift, Todd.
Yeah, the keg was a gift. But yeah, that thing lasted. Like, I remember, like, drinking that beer that night. And I think for, like, the next couple months that we were riding, we continued to drink on that same keg. I don't know. It, like, warm keg. It's like it reproduced itself in the sunlight. Yeah, it reproduced itself in the sunlight. Some chemical. Just probably not healthy.
We also had a tent in the house, which is like a side note detail. If you scroll back far enough on Instagram, you could find it. But legit, a tent in our living room, because it started out, we couldn't afford to pay for our heating bill. So we just we took the sheets off of the beds in the house, and we made like this little teepee over the couch. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of huddled in there and wrote songs. And then we were like, this is actually pretty sick. Like, let's expand it to the whole living room. We went to this place called Music City Thrift on Nolensville Road in Nashville. And we spent $6 and we got like, you know, 8 or 10 big sheets. And like, it was like a patchwork quilt. We tented out the whole living room. I kid you not, I'll pull up a picture for you, but it was ridiculous. And that was where we hung out. It was the tent, 507 Morton Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee. It was ridiculous.
What was like the big moment that got you out of the tent, out of the fort in the living room? Was there one?
Man, there's so many moments. You know, it's really hard to look back and, because everything kind of happens, you know, it's step by step, you know, and you kind of build on this foundation from like, and obviously there was like the first thing was us meeting, you know, that had to have happened. But we started writing songs and started writing some songs that we really thought were great. And, mm-hmm. and they were great. And it was, we presented that to the label. Getting signed was a huge moment. Whenever we put out our first single, that was a huge moment for us because it was, that song ended up going platinum. It was called 19 You and Me. And yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say like one moment of like, you know, what changed everything. I would say us meeting is a pretty good one. nothing could have happened if that wouldn't have went down, which was kind of crazy to think about, that all the things that could have went differently. You know, would we have ever actually gotten together to write music if it hadn't have been for that chance meeting at a party? But it's crazy to think back now about all the stuff that's went down, all hinged on that one meeting.
It was pretty cool, you know, whenever. And you could probably hear the story from every artist who's ever done the thing. But when we started getting courted by publishing companies and record labels, they would take us out for dinner and stuff, you know, and we would get like a sandwich or French fries or a beer and they'd pay for it. And we're like, this is the greatest thing in the entire world. We racked up some serious tabs on some record label dimes. But
we courted about 70 different people.
When you're trying to be polite and reach for your wallet just for the gesture.
Every time.
Yeah. We didn't even have a wallet in there. I was like, oh, I'll get this. I was like, no, that's cool, man.
But before that, it was like my roommate and I, we would make fake coupons like on Photoshop, and we would go to CC's Pizza, which was $5 for a pizza, and we would make it like buy one, get one free. So it was $2.50 each, and we would go at like 8:45 right before they closed, and they were going to throw away all the pizzas, and we're like, oh, no, don't throw that away. And then we would just take home like 4 or 5 boxes of stale pizza that had been sitting out all day after we scammed them with a fake coupon. I'm sorry. I mean, we can be honest here, right?
I mean, that's, I thought you were gonna
somebody
say
from CC's Pizza, like, I knew it.
Nah, man, I'm shouting them out. CC's, you kept me alive.
That's right.
So you guys obviously had a very charming encounter when you first met and songwriting clicked. But in all seriousness, what do you think really draws you guys together and like makes your songwriting with each other really click? You know, it's been a few years now.
Man, I think what's really cool is kind of what we started this conversation out with, is talking about our backgrounds. I think that has a huge, you know, contribution to the kind of music we make. I think our similarities and our differences create the sound that is Dan and Che. You know, I have, you know, gospel background and R&B, as you can tell from the R&B song I was singing on that recording. But, you know, and even like Christian rock, I listened to all that stuff. And then Dan had this, you know, to bring the table, rock and, you know, pop punk and country. We both had that country love for country. And it was cool, man, to see all those kind of, you know, musical tastes come together and create the sound that is Dan and Shay. And it's interesting to see, you know, kind of where our music started and where it evolved. And it was one of those things where I'm not sure what, you know, what the combination was, but whatever it was, our different writing styles and what came together, it was magic in the writer's room. I remember like the first time we wrote together, it was just like, we were fighting for the best song, not with each other, but like, we knew that we wanted to write the best song that we possibly could that day, and we were going to make sure that we did it, and we were going to fight until we got that song. And not with each other, but we wanted to fight that song and put those puzzle pieces together in the way that they needed to be put together. So I think that all of that kind of contributed to us making the Dan and Shay sound. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
I'm looking at this picture on the wall. I'm trying to figure out what that picture is.
Oh, that's the Viper Room.
At first, I thought it said Clooney, like Halloween Clooney.
Yeah, all the conference rooms in the Billboard office are named after iconic venues because we're very cool.
This is the Viper Room.
This is the Viper. We have Studio 54. We have Whiskey A Go Go.
Nice.
And we have CBGB's.
That's awesome.
Nice little assortment of towns, music towns.
I actually played at CBGB's like the week before it closed with my band. I think I was in ninth grade or something like that. This is a ridiculous story, but our now photographer, videographer, creative guy who does our music videos, shot the video for How Not To, and is one of our best friends. He was like, you know, we were still doing the same thing. Like, we've been doing the same thing for like 15 years now. He was filming us, we were playing music, and hopefully the music has gotten progressively better. But he lent me his camera because I'm like, we're going to CBGB's. This is like iconic. We need to film this. And it was before like cell phones had cameras, and I wanted to capture it. And he lent me his camera, and he forgot to take out a tape from the camera. And he had shot a music video of himself performing all the instruments to an early November song, The Room's Too Cold or something. Mm. Every Night's Another. I don't remember what the song was, but he was like rolling around on the floor with a mic, like slamming a bass guitar. Like he shot like a one-man music video. And I texted him. I had like a little Nokia flip phone, and I texted him and was like, dude, I think you forgot a tape in this camcorder. He was a few years younger than me. Could not have been more humiliated. Like he lost his mind. It was ridiculous. But yeah, I found his unedited music video in there.
We'll make sure to find that video and post it on the website.
That was completely unrelated story. <story.
laughs> Well, you said he did the How Not To video. That's like a really deep, serious video. So he's like,
he started from the bottom.
Everyone. Man, that all that to be said. It's amazing what we really did. You know, you can start at the worst, and you can get better. There's hope for everyone. But man, that video it's really special to us because we were able to take that song and not do the normal, you know, country thing where we're in a field and we're arms wide open and singing, you know, the song, which is obviously, those are great videos, you know.
See from the ground up.
Yeah. A lot of good, yeah, see our last music video. No, those are great, but we wanted to do something different, you know, something that really, you know, told a story. And, you know, that song is about addiction, about how you can't get over someone and you don't know how not to be without the person. So we were able to take that, and with, you know, Pete Tracy and Dan all putting their heads together, we, you know, got to be able to do a concept about alcoholism and about, you know, trying to get away from addiction, and through the power of love, these two people are able to get over their addiction together. And it's just something different, you know, that most people wouldn't expect that music video to be about alcoholism. You know, when you first hear it, it's obviously about two people. But to be able to twist that and make a really cool, a little bit darker than, you know, Dan and Shay fans are used to, music video was a really cool thing. And we enjoyed making it. And we can say that because we weren't really in it except for like a couple scenes, and that's the best. And we had professional actors, and they were incredible. We got to watch that and got goosebumps watching them work. So
yeah, they worked you guys in the storyline pretty well.
Yeah.
We were in there. Yeah,
we were in there. We were in there. Who's counting though?
Cool, man.
Is there any kind of cameo inside the shack?
I wish, man. I wish. We actually, you know, like I said before, we've got this little acoustic performance before the shack. But
we should have said yes.
Just like, CGI yes, you guys in there.
I like, yeah, you see this deer like bouncing along. That's actually Dan and Shay in a costume.
Nah, man. We're not in the movie. We were lucky enough to have a song on the soundtrack. And like we said before, man, it's a stacked soundtrack. Tim and Faith, Dierks Bentley, Lady Annabelle, and Brett Eldridge. It's awesome to be a part of that. And to have the first track on the record is really cool, too. So hopefully that gets us like some more streams on our online music playing websites and things like that.
But who's counting?
But who's counting? Come on. Feel old yet?
It's like everyone's counting. Everyone's got
inside
it.
Joke. We got too many inside jokes here in the Viper Room. But yeah, man, it's a really cool moment for us. It's our first time being a part of a movie soundtrack, and those are always big opportunities, you know, when they come along. They're rare that they happen, so we're like, let's do it. We jumped on it, flew out, saw the movie, and we were inspired and made the song happen. And shout out to Lionsgate and Atlantic for really pushing it for us.
That's
and,
right.
And our fans, you know, have been so receptive of this song. It's cool to get, you know, basically an excuse to put out new music, because we're always writing, we're always cranking out new stuff, and sometimes you got to wait. It's like, oh, we got to wait 18 more months till our next album comes out to get this new music to the fans. And it was like, well, here's a good reason to put one out. Here's a soundtrack. And we got it out, and we've been playing it out on the road on the Obsessed tour, and it's been crazy, man. Fans were singing the words back to us from the first night we played it. So it's really cool for us, and shout out to our fans for being so loyal and passionate.
I'm glad this worked out too, because I auditioned for the part of Moana, the girl in that movie. I didn't get it, so I'm hoping that this really pans out. Maybe my movie career voiceover will take off after this.
You guys got yeah. Good things coming.
We'll see. We'll see
big,
how it
big
works
things
out.
For the IMDb pages coming up.
It's everything, dude. It's everything. Wikipedia, celebritynetworth.com. You know, those are our frequent visits.
Talk about who's counting. IMDb is probably counting. They're probably counting.
They're
the
most lot. Definitely counting.
Definitely counting.
Well, thanks so much for coming by, guys. Best luck with the red carpet tonight. Think about some story for your made-up cameo for the movie before tonight.
Yes, we need at least one, like the go back to the CC's buy one, get one free days, and at least Photoshop one image on our phone of us, like, you know, being on set shooting some cameo. See, it's right here. I swear. I look for it in the movie. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It'll be good, man. Thanks for chatting with us, and it's always good to be here in New York City.
That's right.
Hell yeah. That is the interview. That is the show. Dan and Shay were really fun to come by Billboard and hang out with for a little bit. If you're into rock music, like the kind of stuff that we talked about in that podcast, definitely check out next Thursday's episode. I'm doing the same sort of interview with AFI. Stay tuned for that. Keith and Katie will be back in a couple days with their episode of Pop Shop. Theirs is also every week, as you probably know. They'll be back with their episode about news and charts, probably a little interview of their own. Go to iTunes, search for Pop Shop Podcasts, Billboard's flagship podcast. Get us every week automatically. And like I said, catch me here next week with AFI, and yeah, we'll talk soon.